Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Super Tuesday 3. This is Karen Schoen, your host with American Freedom Watch Radio, and we are brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman. Please share our shows and share our websites, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, karenschoen.com, and americaismyname.org. Please go visit our Facebook page, and that would be facebook.com/American Freedom Watch Radio. Sign up for our newsletters and stay informed. This is probably the most exciting election cycle that I have ever been involved in. I don't know about you, Miss Sally. What do you think? I haven't seen anything.
Oh, this is unbelievable. It's really unbelievable what is happening, the record people turning out, and a real revolution of some sorts to say we're not going to put up with the status quo.
That's very interesting that you should say revolution, because this to me is what happened last week with Donald Trump, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what happened last week, they were calling, many of the people were calling for a revolution. Well, I started thinking back to when did this happen before, and it was, oh my goodness, 1968. We had almost an identical situation going on with an election, going on with riots all over the place, and being promoted, unfortunately, by our Democrat, and I won't say Democrats, well, our progressives, the progressives, because they're in both parties, folks. We don't have progressives on one side of the aisle. We have progressives on both sides of the aisle. Anyway, those of you who were not born in 1968 and do not remember, go back and take a refresher course. Because one of the things that came from that was Bill Ayers, who, by the way, was at the Trump rally stirring up all of the dissenters and all of the, all of the protesters. He was there stirring the pot, as he always does, only I don't think he was planning on bombing anything this time, although who knows what he's going to do next time. But in any event, Bill Ayers went to John Lennon, and he asked John Lennon to write a song for the revolution. And John Lennon said that he would, but before he would do anything, he wanted to investigate what this revolution was all about. Well, when he realized what it was, he wrote the song Revolution. And if you listen to the words are saying, say you want a revolution, well, we know you want to change the world. And it goes through a whole situation where you can't do it the way you want to do it. We all want to do it. We all want to participate, but not throwing bombs, not terrorizing anybody, and certainly not changing the Constitution. So go back in time, folks. Type in your Google and look up the words for revolution, and now you know the purpose of it. Bill Ayers, by the way, was very unhappy when he saw the song because the song was not as he expected. The song was actually telling the people, you've got a great constitution, it's time to uphold the laws. And I thought that was really, really interesting today. Also, I have to tell you, we need a little humor in what's going on. You can't always have all of the, everything is always a crisis and everything is always a disaster. So somebody sent me, one of my listeners sent me a joke, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was really, really cute. A teacher asked her sixth grade class how many of them were Hillary fans. Not knowing what a Hillary fan is, but wanting to be liked by the teacher, all the kids raised their hands except for little Johnny. The teacher asked little Johnny why he decided to be different again. Little Johnny said, of course, I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan. And the teacher said, why aren't you a fan of Hillary Clinton? And Johnny said, because I am a Republican. The teachers asked him why he was a Republican. Little Johnny answered, well, my mom's a Republican and my dad's a Republican, so I'm a Republican. Annoyed by this answer, the teachers asked, if your mom was a moron and your dad was an idiot, what would that make you? Little Johnny replied, why, that would make me a Hillary Clinton fan.
Cute.
I had to share that. Especially after her remarks yesterday. Did you know, everyone, that Libya was an absolute success and that no one was lost during Hillary's tenure? And especially in Libya, what does this woman have? Does she have dementia? I'm beginning to wonder about her because she certainly is not living in the real world. Did she forget that 4 Americans were killed under her watch? Did she forget that? I think she did. Because for her to say that no Americans were killed on her watch is just shows you the disdain that she has for the American people. She doesn't care. She's just out there spinning the Hillary Clinton sauce, and she's going to spread it all over the place, and it's the happy juice, and everybody is going to be joyful, and she's out there just wanting to take care of the folks. Please, let's take a look at the care that has been taken by the Clinton regime. And unfortunately, it starts at the top with Billy Boy. She went to Illinois, and by the way, I just heard, we will give you some election updates because this is very, very important. It's a very, very important primary right now. We have several winner-take-all primaries, and that will change the candidate map dramatically. So it's important that we pay attention, and also people should be listening on their own, not listening to pundits. So we will be stopping at 9:30 Eastern time so that everybody can go and pay attention to what is happening as our country is beginning to make history. And yes, we are, folks. This is, to me, is the greatest success story ever. The people are paying attention. The people are engaged. Now, I live in a little community in northern Florida, northwest Florida, and I was shocked today to see how many people were at the polls. Usually when I go, there's maybe myself and one other person there. Well, today there was actually a line, and that was so encouraging. And folks, I can't tell you who to vote for. I would never tell you who to vote for. All we do on this show is present you with the facts. But I can tell you that if you don't vote, then you have no right to say or complain about anything. It is your right, it is your duty as an American citizen to vote. And I want to make sure that all of our listeners, especially in northwest Florida, because in northwest Florida, the polls have not closed yet. So although they are attempting to call the election in Florida, the polls are just closing just now. So we don't know what's happening in northwest Florida as Florida is added to the rest of the state, but we don't want to do what they did several years ago, and that was they called an election, and then the vote came in from northwest Florida after Tallahassee in Florida. In the Panhandle, it is Central Time. Who are the people that did that? I can't figure that one out, but that's neither here nor there. That wasn't me. To have half the state in one time zone and half the state in the other time zone makes it really nice when you have to go to Tallahassee, or you have to go, especially if you just move out here and try to travel, which I did, missing flights on a continual basis, forgetting that I was in a different time zone. So the powers that be made another faux pas, or made something that was easier for them than anybody else, and half the state is in Central Time. So the polls are just closing now.
Karen.
And we will have updates, yes.
Couple things here. First off, here in Florida, they early voting, I mean, voting has been going on for like 2 weeks now, and you still have the lines at the polls today. And then right now, the numbers that I am seeing for Florida, for Trump compared to Rubio, I mean, it's just amazing. It shows how disgusted the people of Florida are with Marco Rubio. You know, it's just amazing. It's a 45 right now. The last thing I just saw on the TV is 45 for Trump and 26 or 27 for Rubio so far in Florida.
That's wonderful.
And that is so telling.
Oh, that is wonderful. Sally, if you would not mind updating us continually, because I am not in a place where I have access to anything at the moment. We're at the farm, folks. We're at the farm. And it's been quite interesting living at the farm. But the chickens and the roosters and the owls and the cows and the now deer are my new neighbors.
God's green earth.
It is wonderful. And every day, every night, I walk outside and I look up at the sky. And I came from New York City, folks. And in New York City, when you look up at the sky, you see nothing because of the light. Now, it used to be we saw nothing because of the smog and the pollution, but that has really been cleaned up. So, sadly, we see nothing because of the light. But when you're in a rural area and there are no lights, oh, my God, the sky is absolutely incredible, which leads me to something else, a little bit off topic, a little bit outside of the election. I have been watching the science station, not the sci-fi station, science, and the Discovery Channel and the History Channel. And here I am listening to these people who have the alphabet after their name with all of the degrees that they have. They are masterminds in you name it and can explain the galaxy and the universe and everything. And here I am watching what they're calling that could be devastating facts that will come to the earth. Nobody knows when, but we do know it will happen. It hasn't happened in hundreds of years. It will happen. It could happen tomorrow. I don't think so. It could happen. Solar storms can happen at any time. Meteorite, comets can land at any time. The Earth is a living, breathing planet, and things happen. And here I am listening to these people who are claiming to be so incredibly intelligent, and I'm thinking to myself, here they are talking about all of these forces that could do devastating things to the Earth, that could disrupt, you name it, and disrupt our life so that it will never be the same. And here we are blaming man for and faulting man for carbon dioxide, which is less than 0.03% of the atmosphere. How is that possible? How can these people actually go and pick up a paycheck knowing the truth about the atmosphere, the truth about our galaxies and our universe, and blame man-made global climate control on man? It just absolutely makes no sense. But then again, I realize that they don't have to make sense, because the objective is not to make sense. The objective is money. Money, power, and control. And that is one of the ways that they will absolutely make sure that we are controlled. And here's another interesting thing that happened yesterday. A couple of weeks ago, Obama was out there singing the praises of $2 gas. Wasn't that exciting? Wasn't that wonderful? Absolutely. Of course, he had nothing to do with it. But today, he said that he is going to withhold all drilling permits on the East Coast. So here is America sitting on top of the most incredible oil reserve in the world, as John would tell us, the riches that would be insurmountable coming from the sale of the oil, because remember, it belongs to we the people. It does not belong to they the government. It belongs to we the people. And what does Obama do? He says he's already stopped coal, and now he plans on stopping oil drilling. What will that do? What will that mean to America? It means that America will be totally 100% dependent upon people who say outwardly, we hate you, we want to kill you, we want to cut your heads off. And here we are, what are we doing? We are funding them, we are giving them our hard-earned money when we are sitting on the largest oil reserves in the world. The whole program does not make sense unless you equate it to money, power, and control. And that's exactly what this is all about. And who is doing that? Who's behind that? Well, it's very interesting, because if you look behind the scenes, you know, the puppeteer pulling the strings, if you look behind the scenes, the name George Soros popping up all over the place. Well, Georgie doesn't want anybody in America to drill. Well, why would he not want anybody in America to drill? Because he owns portions of Mexican oil, Brazilian oil, and oil around the world. What he doesn't own is American oil. So therefore, it is not in his best interest to have America drilling. This is the same George Soros who was responsible for the protesting and rioting outside of Trump's rally on Friday. George Soros was the funder of Black Lives Matter, who came from MoveOn.org, who came from Eggcorn. They are all being funded by the same people. George Soros being the prime funder. Millions of dollars he has given who have been taught in school to hate America. And he is funding their education. He's funding their protests. He's funding their programming. He's funding their marketing material, their TV ads. Why is this man not in jail? And here I have to give a heads up and a woo-hoo to Putin, because Putin kicked him out of Russia, and he said, oh, no, George, you're not going to destroy Russia the same way you destroyed the Ukraine, the same way you destroyed England by crashing and shorting the pound. You're not going to do that to Russia. Get out of our country. So what did Georgie do? He came to America. And I believe that Mr. Clinton granted him citizenship. So,
Aaron, numbers?
Excuse me?
You want some numbers?
Yes, absolutely.
We've got Missouri, Trump 54%, Cruz 27, Rubio 6.7, Kasich is less than 6, or he's at 6%. So that's Missouri. North Carolina, Trump 39%, Cruz 34%, Kasich 13%, Rubio 10%. And then in Ohio, right now, Kasich 44%, Trump 32%, Cruz 14%, Rubio 6%. And then let's see, what are their latest numbers here on Florida? Trump is 45%, Rubio is 27%, Cruz is 16%, Kasich is 6%. And Hillary took over. I mean, Hillary in Florida, 64%. Sanders, 33%. Illinois, Clinton, 65%. Sanders, 29%. And North Carolina, for Clinton, was 58%, Sanders 38%. Ohio, Clinton 68%, Sanders 30%. And that's it for right this moment.
Well, that is really, really good. I am proud of Americans. Today, I am proud to be an American. Always proud to be an American. Today, I am proud of the American people. Why am I proud of the American people? Because they are getting engaged. They are out there. They are listening. They are doing something. They are exercising their right to be an American. I also saw that they have been trying to bring in illegals and have illegals vote. And if you remember last year, we had the big brouhaha over showing an ID at the polls. And every single black group, including Hillary Clinton, and it wasn't every black group because there are many black groups that are wonderful, but every radical black group who thinks we are all racist, every single one of them believed that showing an ID was racist. Showing an ID, proving that you are an American citizen with the right to vote, was a racist ideology. So therefore, this is what they did. They went out and they started screaming at all the states, that all those racist states that were demanding that people show an ID. I think when you go to a hotel, when you go to a library, when you use your credit card, you have to show an ID. When you do anything, you have to show an ID. The first thing anybody is asked is, where is your ID? So why was it so difficult to have an ID for voting? It isn't. This is one of the made-up programs that our left is espousing to show how racist the American people are. Frankly, I can't understand why any white male would vote for Hillary or Bernie, because they have blamed just about everything that has gone on in our country today on white males. They said that everything is their fault. I guess the world is their problem, and it's very, very sad. But I also noticed it's not just happening in America. This seems to be the plan of the left, is to emasculate males. And nothing was more evident of that than the other day when, what was it, the Swedish police chief of one of the cities, the mayor and one of the cities in Sweden told the women to stay home and not go out after dark because they can't protect them against the Muslims who are performing mass rape on their citizens. Imagine saying that. I'm thinking to myself, where are the men that would go out? Where are the men saying, no, you can't do this to our women? You can't, this is inhuman. You can't do this to anyone. But then I realized our men have been turned into wimps, and it's very, very sad, because the only thing that people have become now are victims. They're nothing else other than victims. And the victimology and the victimhood is what is being taught in school. And because people are, you know, it's interesting. I listen to some of the talk shows, and they always stop short because they say, we don't understand where this is coming from. And yet for the last 5-6 years, we've been screaming, it's coming from the schools. This is what the schools are teaching. Well, then they focus on college, and they think that this is what the schools are teaching in college. Folks, they have started emasculating our men in kindergarten. In kindergarten, our little kindergartners are being taught not to stick up for themselves, but to be wimps, to take it. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why Trump is resonating so much, because he's not a person that's going to take it. He's not a person that's going to take anything. He makes it perfectly clear, you mess with me, I'm going to mess with you back. Well, isn't that wonderful to have a leader of our country actually say that about our country? To me, that is the most incredible, exciting thing to listen to. I don't want a wimp president. I don't want somebody that's going to say, oh, yeah, you hit me on the right side. Well, now let me turn my cheek and hit me on the left side. I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm sick and tired of being the whipping post. I'm tired of being told that America sucks, that America is the root of all evil, that America is racist, homophobic, and every other name you can think of. I'm tired of that. I want somebody who will stand up for America and not wimp out. And I have to tell you, Sally, I was really, really upset because Ted Cruz was, you know, I thought he was an okay guy until he came out and he said that it's Donald's fault that the riot, he was the one that created those riots. No, he didn't. He didn't go out and pay people to come and riot. He didn't do that. What he did do was say, if you riot, I'll go after you. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to wimp out. I'm not Bernie Sanders. And I was also reading that there were actually gunshots fired at his rally, outside the rally, and that Mayor Rahm Emanuel, Obama's right-hand man and guru, told the police not to go after the rioters. Don't go after the rioters. What does that do? Well, that gives carte blanche for the rioters to go out and do it again. They don't care. They're not interested. What do they care? If there are no consequences for an action, then they will continue to repeat the action. And you know what scares me a lot? Is that when we go back in history and you go back to 1968, that was the year of all of the riots and all of the devastation and all of the horrific American pitted against an American over and over again. And it was really, really a very dark time in my life. So if you are younger than I am, which most people are, and you were not around in 1968 and you have no idea what I'm talking about, please go back and look in history. Because go back and look up Bill Ayers if you don't know who he is. But most important, go back and look at history and see what the American landscape was like at that time. It was frightening. It was not a pleasant thing, because you felt that you were taking your life in your hands when you went to do something, when you went out in the street, when you went anywhere. You never knew what the consequences were going to be. And it was very uncomfortable we didn't have the malls like we have today. We had only the beginning of the malls. But it was uncomfortable to go out and be in a crowd of people because you never were secure in your surroundings. I mean, let's face it, you take 100,000 people, even 10,000 people, and you put them together, and you have, what, 2, 3, maybe if you're lucky, 400 police? How are they going to control anybody? And that was one of the things that one of the cops said also. He said that it would behoove us to make sure that we are protected when we go out, because the police cannot handle the massive crowd. So,
yeah, you know, Karen, you're talking about Ted Cruz here, but I mean, I think this is just showing his true colors. People talk about him, I'm like, I'm sorry, I just don't fall for his born-again Christian routine, especially when we all know he's a Canadian. And I think he's so superficial. I thought, you know, to me, this is just what he is. And then you get into all the other stuff with his wife and of course, his relationship with the Bush clan and everything else. Is like, I never understood how people were falling for him to begin with. But you're so right. This is just a game he'll play. He'll say anything if he thinks he can put it in such a tone that it's going to make you believe.
You're right.
I don't know if that was a very good imitation of him, but that's the way when I look, all these different tones of when he's talking, I'm like, oh my dear Lord, help save us, protect us from that guy.
Yes. And all of you people that think he's wonderful, and you think that when he gets in office, well, first of all, that's a different story, because if anybody is not electable, I would think it would be Ted Cruz, because there are not enough conservatives to, he has to be elected by more than one group of people. That's the problem. So his electability to me has diminished, because if you're not a conservative, you're not going to vote for him. But I do believe, like Donald Trump, is a crossover candidate, because I think if Hillary wins, the Bernie Sanders people are not going to vote for Hillary. And Trump and Sanders have been saying similar things. They have been saying similar things for quite some time. Their outcomes are different, but what they are talking about is the same. So here we have Trump saying, we need jobs. We have to bring the jobs back. Well, Trump is talking about the jobs that have been destroyed by, Sally, I am sorry. Our guest is on the other line. He must have had a problem. So hang on. We will get Paul right on the line. Give us a break, folks.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and announce the voting tallies for right now, too, while you're taking care of that. Okay, Florida, Hillary Clinton, 64, Sanders, 33. On the Republican side, Trump, 45, Rubio, 27, Cruz, 17, Kasich, 6, and then Bush managed to still get 2% in there. Then Illinois, they're just starting to come in there, and that's Clinton, 53, Sanders, 44, Trump, 41, Kasich, 26, Cruz, 21, Rubio, 8, and that is in Illinois. Missouri, we've got Trump at 48, Cruz at 32, Rubio at 8, Kasich at 5, Clinton at 62, Sanders at 30. Then we've got North Carolina. Whoops, let me get back where I was at on here. North Carolina is Clinton 58, Sanders 37, Trump 40, Cruz 34, Kasich 12, Rubio 10. And then we have Ohio, which is Clinton 68, Sanders, 31, Kasich, 44, Trump, 32, Cruz, 14, and Rubio is 6. So that's what the numbers are looking like right now. And it looks like...
Woohoo.
Is it okay if Tom chimes in for a minute?
Yes, and Paul will be calling in using his Skype. That was the confusion. Okay. Folks, we're going to be bringing in Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio all the way from California. I thought it would be interesting to get a good take on what was going on.
Hey, so I just put the line for Tom Pastor in case he wants to add something, and I do see our guest, and I will have them on the line in just a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Hello. Paul?
No, this is Tom.
Hi there, Tom. How are you?
Okay. Just wanted to jump in real quick. If you didn't know, Rubio just gave his suspend the campaign speech.
Yay! Could I do that? Ooh.
Which is basically, I think it's redundant for them to call it that. Just say you're dropping out. That's what they used to say. They can't even be honest nowadays. They got to suspend their campaign. I don't know what that means. Somebody's going to surprise them later on and elect
no,
them.
No, I figured out what that means. If they suspend the campaign, they don't have to refund the money. And if it goes to a brokered convention, their name is still there. So
well, Rubio knows how to use all that slush money.
Yes.
He's done it before, so he'll do it again.
He certainly will. Tom,
I just think it's trickery. You know, there's no such thing as you're either in the race or you're not in the race. Suspending the campaign is just something that's self-serving. It, to me, it's just another point, another reflection that they just can't be honest with the people. You know, and if you're dropping out, say you're dropping out. That's what they used to do. They used to give a speech saying they're dropping out of the race. Now they're suspending their campaign. For what?
I couldn't.
You know,
it just shows
further trickery. Nobody can. They can't even be honest with the people of America when they're dropping out of the campaign.
Well, there is no honesty in politics at all, so nothing surprises me anymore. Paul, we have Paul Preston with us right now, and Paul is the host of Agenda 21 Radio in California, and I thought it would be interesting, folks, to get a take of what's going on the other coast, as we are focused today basically on the East Coast. Welcome to the show, Paul. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a privilege.
You know, it is a pleasure as always. So, Paul, you don't have your primary right now, so what is your take on what's going on as the numbers are coming in and Trump is escalating higher and higher and higher, and as you just heard from Tom, Rubio has just suspended his campaign. He should suspend his political career, if you want to know the truth, but that's my opinion.
Well, you know, I guess the big question about Marco, will he ever be forgiven by anybody for his position on amnesty relative to, working with the Gang of Eight? I mean, will everybody in the Tea Party all around the country forgive him for that? Do you think they will?
Not in this lifetime. I doubt it.
Yeah, we Tea Party types have a big memory.
What he just did also, day before yesterday.
Yeah.
In his first 100 days, he's going to be giving amnesty. Oh, no, it's
right.
Not amnesty. It's legalization. Well,
and then he throws Ronald Reagan's name out there. We're just going to finish the business of Ronald Reagan from the 1980s. That's a bunch of crap. What he is talking about is just scurrilous. And by the way, for those of you that know Arnold Schwarzenegger, who roundly endorsed Kasich, Arnold Schwarzenegger, as it turned out, has been one of the major socialists of our times politically here in California. He's the guy who brought in the CARB situation, you know, which is basically eviscerating this state of all business through this carbon tax scheme that he's got going on. He brought us Common Core, Race to the Top, which has absolutely been devastating upon the educational system in this state. He is a socialist, if not outright Marxist. So we have to keep that in mind about anybody who gets endorsed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just a few nice words that I have for Arnold.
You mean we shouldn't be upset that he didn't endorse Donald Trump?
Well, he would never endorse Donald Trump, and I don't think Donald Trump, you know, he's got him doing the apprentice thing. I mean, we've got to keep our eyes on that. Now, I understand if you're in the movie business or whatever, that you're going to be using the movies. I mean, he's got a business he's got to run. I understand that. But as far as being endorsed by Arnold Trump and Casey, that to me is just the kiss of death. And hopefully Arnold won't come out in an open fashion anyway and endorse Donald Trump. But it's just like mixing water and oil. Arnold Schwarzenegger turned this state upside down, along with Jerry Brown and all the Democrats that we've had march through here since 1996.
What was the thing of bringing Jerry back? He was bad the first time. I was shocked.
Well, I think
I
think the state, especially after being so badly mismanaged by Arnold Schwarzenegger, he couldn't keep his office intact. You know, his own office staff. He had to go back and hire Gray Davis's chief of staff to run his office. He couldn't handle it. He was totally incompetent, and so was the people that he had around him. So they brought in this, her name was Kennedy, and she was a lesbian, and she, you know, was Gray Davis's chief of staff. And, of course, nothing changed for the state. Go figure. She ran everything so that it would just be identical to as what Gray Davis was doing. And she kept him right in line with the Democratic dream of destroying the state and turning it into a socialist empire.
It's such a shame. It's such a beautiful shame.
It's a beautiful place.
And
beautiful
I saw
people.
That Jerry Brown yesterday said that if Trump gets elected, California's going to need a wall.
Right, right. Well, we need a wall to keep Jerry Brown out, you know, because he's absolutely destroyed it. And he's, you know, this is the thing. Here we've had all these massive storms that have come through here, and I live right in the middle of where all these storms have come in the north state. And all of our reservoirs are filling up finally and all that stuff. But do you realize they're not going to preserve any of this water? They're still going to drain the reservoirs? Our reservoirs were being systematically drained down to nothing, deliberately, in the middle of a drought. They weren't preserving any of the water we had. They tried to drain it down to a trickle. Lake Shasta, Oroville, all these big, huge reservoirs, some of the biggest in the world, were being drained down to nothing. Why? To keep fish, fisheries open? I mean, back in the day before we had the dams, what happened to these rivers? They all dried up. You know, it's just absolute lunacy what they're doing. But, again, this is the One World Order speaking, so they're trying to destroy the state and rebuild it in a different fashion.
Yes, they are. I read that over 80% of the water in California goes right into the Pacific.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
80% of
right.
the... drinking water goes right into the
right
Pacific.
In the Pacific, correct.
And
this is a man.
Drought.
This drought that's out here right now is exacerbated by Jerry Brown and his environmentalist wackos, who have no other agenda than to get people out of California and bring California back to its native natural state. That's the sustainable state. You know, that's the whole notion of Agenda 21. But that's really not what it is. It's a totalitarian dream to take over the rich, abundant natural resources that are found in the West in particular. And that's what's going on in Oregon with the Lavoie Finicum murder that we just witnessed 2 weeks ago. It's all playing out right before our eyes.
Can you share a little bit of that with our listeners? Because Donald Trump was the only candidate that came out against BLM, and that wasn't Black Lives Matter, that was the Bureau of Land Management.
Correct.
And he actually said that the federal government shouldn't own the land and the land should go back to the state.
Yeah,
so,
the Constitution doesn't provide for the federal government to own land except for in specific instances, and I can't give you the exact one of the Constitution, first the ones of the articles there in the Constitution. They're restricted to owning 10 square miles in Washington, D.C., and then courts for forts and magazines and batteries, basically for military purposes. That's the extent of what the land can be owned by the federal government. And this whole notion of the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of the Interior owning land is a farce. Yet they take it upon themselves to seize land at every turn. And they do it through a whole bunch of different types of regulations that they've been able to manage. One of the biggest regulations, a piece that came down to solidify previous activities before 1992, of course, was United Nations Agenda 21, which became codified through the President's Council on Sustainability in 1993. Of course, the president being Bill Clinton, and his vice president, Al Gore, they started to come down and promulgate just tons of regulations that would expedite the seizing of ranches and farms throughout the West. Of primarily, if you take a look at a map and see the land that has been usurped by the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Interior, it really splits right along the Mississippi River, goes west, and it's like 85% of the land that's owned in the West is purportedly owned by the federal government, which is it's against the Constitution to own land. So they have claimed through the Bureau of Land Management and the hegemony that they've been able to project all this land. So that's one of the reasons why you had the fight going on in Bundy Ranch. You've got Red River. You've got this thing up in Harney County. But, you know, it's a bigger problem than that, in that you had the world's elites, the One World Order folks, especially through the United Nations Agenda 21, and now it's 2030 Agenda, because they basically, the 2030 Agenda you might hear about means that they're trying to bring the One World Order about and make it a complete One World Order domination by the year 2030. They were going to complete it by 2050, but now they're anxious. And so they came up with a modified, and I guess you would say it's Agenda 21 2.0. That's the 2030 Agenda. And now they're coming up with this whole thing where they're going to start seizing land more rapidly. And this is a big year, by the way, because they've got their main player in the White House, the totalitarian and Muslim president, President Barack Hussein Obama. And he has been, of course, using executive orders and so on to make the whole transition, or at least get the projected, I guess you would say, destruction of the United States of America in proper order by the time he leaves the presidency, if he leaves it. And, of course, there's a lot of people saying that's not going to happen. I believe that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to sustain himself. But the bigger problem is that this land situation of them coming out and stealing land, and I'll tell you how it's done, so that all your people are very, very clear on this, about how this whole thing is handled by the Bureau of Land Management. The Bureau of Land Management, they wear brown shirts, and that's because they are, like the Nazis, brown shirts. They run around seizing people's property illegally. They use the courts, they use corrupt judges to seize the property and the property rights, and squeeze people out of their property, as they had been trying to do with Cliven Bundy. Cliven Bundy was given his grazing contract in August, September of 1993 from the Bureau of Land Management. Just so happens the President's Council on Sustainability was formed, which incorporated in all of the ideals and constitutional, I guess you would say, One World Order constitutional regulations from Agenda 21. That was done in June of 1993, and by July and August and September, these contracts from the Bureau of Land Management were going out, and they were forcing ranchers and farmers to comply with sustainability goals, which came right out of United Nations Agenda 21, go figure. Now, Cliven Bundy did something very unique. He looked at the contract, and he refused to sign his contract in 1993, and you know what his words were? He said, these were his words he used on national television. He said, I looked at that contract and I recognized that that contract was not from my country. And so I caught that, and I interviewed Cliven. I called him right away. I said, you know, this is something that's pretty important here, Cliven. I said, have you ever read Agenda 21? And he said, no, but everybody tells me I should. And I said, read Agenda 21 and I'll interview you. I called him back a couple days later, and he goes, you know, Paul, the language that was in that contract that I refused to sign, but the other 52 ranchers around me, they did sign, was right out of Agenda 21. It was all about sustainability. And I said, well, Cliven, what happened to those other ranchers? And he said, those other 52 ranchers, they were managed out of business by the Bureau of Land Management. Cliven Bundy was the last man, and is the last man standing. That's how they wow. do it with the BLM. And of course, the same thing happened up there in Harney County with the Hammonds at the Hammond Ranch. Now, this is how the Agenda 21 people work. This is how the big boys and girls play the game. You have the BLM, which you know is going to be friendly, and you have a mechanism by which you can extract people off of land that they own. With the knowledge, especially if you've had a lot of surveys and geological surveys and so on, you understand that the land these people stand on is worth trillions of dollars.
Wow, yes.
Then you come up with a mechanism by which to get them off, and that's what the BLM is all about. Well, then the One World Order people come into play. They use somebody like a Secretary of State, like Hillary Rodham Clinton, and they negotiate with her and say, look, Hillary, you have this foundation. We'll give you $3 to $4 million into your foundation, but we want the mineral rights to everything in Harney County. Okay, we can arrange that. And she did. And she worked with a company that was owned by a Russian. It was Uranium One. And they seized claims to Harney County and primarily the Malheur Refuge and all that area around the Hammond Ranch. They needed to get rid of the Hammonds. They still do. Because the Hammonds are on the legally still on the land. That's the battle. And, of course, the Bundys recognize that. That's why Ammon and those guys went up there, to put a stop to this and to draw attention to this seizure, if you will. Now, Uranium One has been changed its name to Oregon Limited. And Oregon Limited is ready to go in there and start mining the rich uranium that's in Harney County. But there's another thing that's going on there, and this comes to Bill Gates' attention. There's an element called thorium. It's number 90 on the periodic table of the elements. And by the way, uranium, those people understand the chemical, the periodic table of the elements, is number 92. And it's a very heavy element. It's also able to use by nuclear fission. We can actually use it as a source of nuclear power. But the thing about thorium is very unique in that thorium only gives off carbon. And carbon is non-radioactive. It's a clean form of thorium. The richest deposit of thorium in the world, in its purest form, is in Harney County. A handful of thorium in your hand is enough to power, for about 5 years, to power a big state, let's say the size of Texas. Do you think that is an important element in the ground in Harney County?
Wow.
And you know who owns the rights to that? Bill Gates. And Bill Gates owns the other rights to it in India, where you find the next largest deposit of thorium. This is how the big boys and girls play, and this is why they want you off the land so that they can seize it for themselves. And then this is why the FBI was up there in Harney County looking through the files, which brings us to, of course, the LaVoy Finicum shooting. And I don't know if you have a commercial or anything, or how am I doing?
No, we're doing good. We're good until the bottom of the hour.
Okay, so I just want to make sure we're not interfering with the election results. But we're going to get to those in a second.
Sally will chime in at the top of the hour and give us the election results.
Okay, so here you have the situation in Harney County. And the thing is that people are ignorant up in Harney County, as they are in most places out in rural America. And not insulting anybody, but because they've been infected with the virus of the BLM and the totalitarian nature that they have, they think they just have, this is the way the federal government works. They own the land, they have all the responsibility, and therefore, if they have ownership in land, it means nothing compared to the federal government. So naturally, they feel that they must submit to the federal government, which is not the case. It's not constitutional. So everywhere that the Bureau of Land Management runs up against a really smart attorney, they lose. They take it to the courts and they lose. And there's a couple of them, Fred Kelly Grant as an example. He's one of the attorneys that we work with. Every time he's gone, 70 times he's gone against the BLM, they have lost because they're being unlawful and unconstitutional. I mean, that's a big 70 and all.
That is
He is a former federal prosecutor who used to put gangsters away. Like, you know, the real gangsters, the real mob guys, he is a no-nonsense guy, and he knows how to do this stuff. Now, he's working very diligently right now in California to do away with the California Air Resources Board, or CARB as it's known, which was set up by Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he's working real hard, and it looks like he might be able to do something, because CARB is a very, very illegal group of people. In fact, they're implicated in some of the charges. He's trying to get criminal charges filed against the California Air Resources Board and their leader, Mary Nichols, because the California Air Resources Board, to prove a point that was a lie, that diesel fumes will kill sensitive subjects, as they're known, or children, is a bald-faced lie. And in order to prove this, you know what the BLM did? They worked with a couple of major, actually a total of 12 major universities throughout the United States, USC and UCLA being two of them, And they actually perform experiments on children in which they inhale diesel fumes. Now, the last time I checked, in fact, this is all verified, that it is against the Nuremberg Code for anybody to perform. This is like Joseph Mengele stuff. It is against the Nuremberg Code to perform these experiments on children. And this is what the California Air Resource Board, the California EPA, and the EPA did. This was all done just recently in the last 10 years. You imagine that?
Well, nothing surprises me, unfortunately. But I was aware of experimentation, but not the way they're doing it on the children. This is
torturing children. 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds.
Horrifying. And not, unfortunately, not surprising. I mean, look at what is going on with autism.
Right.
One in 60 children now are autistic.
How about this one? There's nickel allergies as well now, which we haven't seen, but it's having a devastating effect on especially females. That's another problem out there. And all these little metals that the government has been introducing in our lives in various ways. But what happened up in Harney County with Finicum is that people started to discover the Constitution, and the Bundys brought in some teachers and leaders about the Constitution, about their rights as property owners. And, in fact, it created quite a stir. And Chris Ann Hall came out there and spoke for a couple of days, and she gave them a whole rundown. About 1,000 people attended her conferences that she was at. And pretty soon it reached the state U.S. senators level, and they got all upset because they were getting a lot of pressure from people. Hey, you can't let these people learn about the Constitution because they're going to find out how unconstitutional we are. And they got in touch with, are you ready for this? They got in touch with the White House. And the person that they really kind of touched base with was one Valerie Jarrett. And Valerie Jarrett worked in conjunction with the governor's office of Oregon, and they set up the murder of LaVoy Finicum, and they murdered him. Now,
her hands are all over the murder of all of Americans. I don't believe that her allegiance is to America. She's an Iranian, and she is not going to change that, and I don't think she cares at all about Americans. She could care less. So that does not surprise me. And sadly, you're absolutely right. His death was a murder. And who is going to prosecute this murder unless we have the right person in office?
Well, exactly.
It's not going to be Loretta Lynch.
Trump is aware of the Bureau of Land Management. I'm not too sure how thoroughly he has been briefed on other aspects of it, but I got to tell you, he's got some good resources around him, and they're saying the right things to him. And this is driving the One World Order people nuts. As soon as he came out and started condemning the Bureau of Land Management, that hit a major nerve. Now, this was just a few weeks ago he really came out about that. And when he did, all of a sudden, we started hearing about all these jets that were flying around the countryside with billionaires in them, having conferences about how to stop Donald Trump. Isn't that right?
Yes, and they actually met at one of the islands off of Georgia. They should have met in Jekyll Island and completed their devastation. But I don't remember which island it was. But again, they met in secret off of one of the islands off of Georgia. And the topic of today was how to stop Donald Trump.
And again, the big topic is even more today. And I wasn't able to close that whole circle, but you know, that's a whole other discussion, and we don't want to get into the elections. But the topic of today, naturally, is Donald Trump, because it looks like he's going to win Florida for sure. He's got that one. North Carolina, Missouri, and Illinois. We're not sure about what's going on in Ohio, but given the trajectory in terms of voter fraud that goes on in Ohio. I know a friend of mine who lives in Ohio, and he was telling me that he has a place of business, and he's got like 100 employees, and they all voted Republican in the last election. And when he counted up the number of Republican votes that came out in 2014, there were none in his county. None. And,
okay.
You got like, 150,000 people in that county or something like that. You would think there'd be more than 100 even, but there were none.
Well, in Florida, I think we had them beat because in one of the precincts, they had 146% of the people voted.
There you go. I'm disappointed it didn't get to 150%.
And in one of the precincts, one of the counties, it was 98% for the Democrat and 2% for a Republican. And this was Alan West's election, and that was how Alan West lost.
Right. Right.
He
that was a big setup on Alan West.
And 140 or 145% of the people voted. So,
well, you can't if you're Barack Obama, you cannot have any conservative blacks. You just can't have that. Mia Love was another one. You remember she went down.
Yes. Unfortunately, she was elected. Paul, hold on for 1 second. And Miss Sally, can we have an election update?
Okay, here we go. Florida, Hillary Clinton 64% and Sanders 33%. And then on the Republican side, Trump is at 45%, Rubio 27%, Cruz 17%, and Kasich 6%. And that's 83% reporting at that point. And let's go down to Illinois. Illinois has 9% reporting. And Hillary, 54, Sanders, 44, and then Trump is 41, Cruz is 22, Kasich is 22, Rubio is 11, and that's Illinois. And then we have Missouri, which is 13% reporting. Hillary Clinton is 58%, Sanders is 38, and then Trump is 38, Cruz is 32, Rubio is 12, Kasich is 10, and that's Missouri. Then we go down to North Carolina. We've got Clinton at 57, Sanders at 39, Trump at 39, Cruz at 35, Kasich at 12, Rubio at 9, and that's 17% reporting. And then that was North Carolina. And then we go to Ohio. Clinton, 64, Sanders, 34, Kasich, 43, Trump, 34, Cruz, 14, Rubio, 5, and that's with 6% reporting at that point. That's Ohio, and I think, that's it. That's it for tonight so far.
Good news so far from the home front. Okay,
yep.
Paul.
That's good news.
It is very good news. The people are waking up and they are showing their disdain for the establishment, whoever they are, and actually for the One World Order folks. It's time for them to kick the can in another country.
I think that's really the story of this whole election cycle, and I've been saying this because we're starting to see the distillation process in play here through these races and what's been going on. And the American people are speaking very clearly. And, quite frankly, I was in Washington, D.C. for CPAC, spent, 4 or 5 days there. And what a thrill that was. I mean, I'm being a little bit facetious to see the players, but it's a conservative program, basically. And You take a look at the players that were there, and clearly the usual suspects for the establishment Republicans were there. In fact, I would say all of CPAC was run by the establishment Republicans. And it was exciting, but it was also discouraging to see these establishment Republican types trying to run down the candidates, and primarily the candidate being either Ted Cruz because of his conservative nature. They were really pumping Rubio, and of course Donald Trump. So much to the point that the open booing and so on of Donald Trump and this whole stuff that they set up is almost like Fox News cheerleading squads, if you will, as hit people against Donald Trump, Donald Trump refused to go to CPAC and speak on Saturday morning. Now, that was a little disappointing. I changed all my flight arrangements around, actually, that I wanted to see him and be around him and all that stuff and be a part of that whole thing and just play out the whole political circus, if you will. But it was very, very clear that he was not going to be welcome at CPAC. And if it wasn't Donald Trump, it would have been Ted Cruz would not have been welcome. And it would have been Rubio, because Rubio was the anointed one for the establishment. And but we saw the distillation process when Rubio made its mistakes about going after Donald Trump, which fell flat. Plus, you know, there's the problem that he had with the Gang of Eight. That didn't sit well in Florida or other places or, you know, anywhere, even California. People are, when he did that, I'll tell you, here in California with the Tea Parties, he was sunk. He wasn't going anywhere. But, yeah. You know, if it was just Cruz and Rubio, they would have been booing on Cruz, and he wouldn't have gone to CPAC and spoken. It's just the way the whole thing was working, you know, because of Cruz's conservative nature. But, you know, then when Rubio was faltering, you saw everybody rush over to Cruz and want to join forces with him from the establishment. And unfortunately for Cruz, he started buying in on it. I think that was not a good thing for Cruz. And I think that when Cruz decided to go negative with Trump and violate the rule that Ronald Reagan, the 11th commandment in an election that Ronald Reagan talks about, which is thou shalt not talk ill of a fellow Republican in a primary. Ronald Reagan never even mentioned his opponent's names. I don't even know. Most people don't know that. He never mentioned his opponent's name.
He always reflected and took every question and turned it around to, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you.
The thing is, one of the basics in advertising is, why should you mention your competition's name?
Right.
Why should you spend your money and put together a commercial and mention your competition's name? And that's essentially what he learned in the long run growing up, you know, in the movie business, in the radio business. He understood that. But, you know, and of course, Donald Trump, you know, credit to him to some degree. If you go, his thing was, and he was fair warning to everybody, you go after me, I'll go after you. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I like that approach, per se. I'm more of a Ronald Reagan type. But, you know, he promised to keep his mouth shut about you if you didn't go after him. And he did. But if they went after him, he went after him. And people just didn't learn by that. And that's going to be a problem going forward, I think, in the general election, if, in fact, we have one. With Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and of course, it looks like perhaps a brokered convention here going forward. Even though it looks like Donald Trump is going to pick up about 300 delegates tonight.
Yeah, I think he'll pick up about 300 delegates, and he hasn't hit the Northeast yet, because I think he will pick up New York. I think he'll pick up Pennsylvania, New Jersey. The northern states, huge amount of delegates, and I'm pretty sure he'll pick up. I would be very shocked if he did not pick up California as well.
Well,
and
you know,
I don't
California,
mean for the general election, I mean for the primary.
But again, you got to remember that we are a Marxist state, and the Marxists have been able to infect and infiltrate the Republican Party and disable it. So you have a wounded and disabled Republican dysfunctional party here. Now, one of the problems that you have here in California is that they've laid the groundwork. This is the leadership of the California Republican Party, and I fault them because they're controlled by the unions and they're controlled by all the Marxists now. And that's very, very evident. This has been a process they've been working on for a long, long time. You know, as they say in the state capitol, the Republican Party is not even relevant at all. It's not even relevant. And so if you're a Republican down there, there's very little you can do in the legislature. It's all controlled by and manipulated by the lobbyists, by the staffers, and the Democrats. And Jerry Brown basically is a titular dictator. Whatever Jerry wants, he gets. It just happens that way. And then through Kamala Harris, he's got the brown shirt establishment going on there with Kamala Harris, the attorney general. She is nothing more than, Hitler reincarnate, and rightfully so. She's going to be running for Barbara Boxer's seat in the Senate. that's going to be her big claim to fame. I just can't wait until we get another brown shirt up there in the U.S. Senate.
That should be, oh, my God.
It's just what we need.
Okay, I just read on your website, I've been following your website, share with us about the state of Jefferson. I think that's so incredible. I'd love people to do that in Florida. I would love to be able to do that because we need to separate Florida as well. Could you share that with everyone and tell them what is going on with that?
Yeah, the State of Jefferson is a movement started by a gentleman by the name of Mark Beard, and Mark Beard is a rancher up here in Siskiyou County, which is in the northern part of the state and right next to Oregon. The notion and the idea of the State of Jefferson actually started years and years and years ago. I think this is about the third rendition of the attempt to form the State of Jefferson. And it's basically because California is so large fundamentally, California has been deemed by a lot of ways to be ungovernable because of its size. And I would say that that's very true, but it's been ungovernable for a long time ever since I think Prop 13 actually was the big killer of California because it lost, and I'm not saying the proposition itself, that's the big real estate property tax proposition, which preserved 1% real estate taxation because the state was just taking all kinds of money. But the problem is they, after Prop 13 came in, they added on a whole bunch of laws that caused all the money from the counties and anybody who collects money for property tax, send that money to the state, then they'll just redistribute that money to the counties as they see fit through the state legislature. Now, that's called central control. It's just like, you know, the communists with Moscow. And that's been going on here in California for a long, long time. And now we're at the point where there's so much overregulation and taxation, it's just absolutely crippling us. And every state and every county is feeling it. So the Jefferson movement got a revival a couple of years ago when people in Northern California said enough. They saw the spotted owl come in and ruin its timber. They want to take down dams out here, perfectly good electrical dams, all just to save, they say, fish and so on. It's not, most of that is absolutely bunk. These are the rabid environmentalists, United Nations Agenda 21 people that have rich non-governmental organizations behind them. And they want to take people off the land for obvious reasons. They want the wealth, just like in Harney County. And so the people of Jefferson, basically right now about 21 counties in Northern California, and there's another six in Southern Oregon that want to join up with this movement to form the 51st state called Jefferson. And Jefferson so far has been able to generate 21 petitions, basically, that they have given to the state of California to put them on notice that 21 counties want to leave, not secede. We're not seceding. That's an illegal act. And I hope everybody hears me loud and clear. The State of Jefferson movement is designed to make this government, this country, a more perfect union by growing a 51st state. And that's as the founding fathers wanted. They understood that states and new states growing is a good sign of a healthy republic. They understood that. Now, what we have right now, though, in this country right now, is you have the growth of regionalism. And regionalism is the destruction of your local city, county, and state sovereignty. This is a Soviet concept, regionalism. That's why they used to call it the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, because Soviet-style governance relies upon people that are unelected by the people that they serve to do what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. And regional governance, non-governmental organizations like the California Air Resources Board, and I know you have some in the East Coast, have been established to dismember and dismantle city, county, and state government borders. And this is the notion. See, this is the basic principle of the one world order. If you dissolve these borders and make the borders inconsequential, and you form up these regions, such as FEMA regions, right? Get it? Then these regions can report to one central authority, and that's, of course, going to be the United Nations, or it's going to be in Brussels, probably Brussels, because that's the home of Opus Dei and the Jesuits, that it's probably going to be Brussels, that everything that we do here in the United States will be held accountable to those United Nations folks. That's the one world order. Go do away with all the borders, and that's what you have, and that's that's where the state of Jefferson, of course, is so completely opposite of the intent of the United Nations. And the state of Jefferson's notion is to form a new border, a 51st state, and have sovereignty. And by the way, the people within the borders, guess what? They get to regulate and govern themselves. And, I mean, how many people in Florida right now that are listening to this recognize that they don't have any control over their city council or their school board? See, just everybody's starting to wake up to that. Well, this is the action and interaction of the United Nations and their concept through Agenda 21, think globally, act locally. And this is the local actions that have been taking place to form these regional governance systems. And they're playing out right in front of us. President Barack Hussein Obama met with Justin Trudeau. By the way, Justin Trudeau is a recent convert to Islam. And Justin Trudeau, they met.
I did not know that. I did know that he got in office by the prompting and pushing and support of the Obama regime.
Correct.
And
Valerie Jarrett, all of them were up there.
Yes, all up there.
In England, trying to keep Great Britain in the European Union.
Yes.
This is all one world order people thinking. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And you know, when we wake up to this, it's like going to be one day all this sovereignty is gone. Of course, recently they came up with this community policing program, and you had Loretta Lynch go to the United Nations and all this stuff and talk about how we have a lot of these cities in the United States that are in compliance with United Nations policing. What?
Excuse me? Well, we do know that the United Nations chooses our refugees. We talked about that last week. So we don't even have a choice as to who comes to America. That's being done by the United Nations. And last week, Obama gave 500 million acres to a national monument, which is going to be controlled by the United Nations.
Right, that's the notion. See, this is what they're trying to do in these national monument things is preserve the mineral wealth in these areas. Because all these have been assayed. In the 50s, the United States under President Eisenhower did a lot of assays of the property and land throughout the United States to determine how much mineral wealth and so on was in the land. And, of course, we are abundantly richer than any other place on the planet. And that was something that's found out. And that's what the studies that they're using actually lay claim. You know, it's like the Bundy Ranch. When you start to take a look at the Bundy Ranch and the land that they were grazing on, they had grazing rights too since they were from and they were in that area since the 1880s. You find out that there's tons and tons of frackable oil underneath the land. But also there's rare earth elements so that you can make magnets and windmills and things like that that the Chinese wanted.
Yes, and we have the same, as you have BLM out west. Well, Florida has its own special program that was instituted by Jeb Bush.
Right.
And that was called 1,000 Friends of Florida, which later became Florida Forever. And
that's right.
Florida
that's
Forever is acting exactly like BLM, going around telling Floridians what they can and cannot do with their land, but their ultimate goal is get off the land. Florida Forever now owns at least a third of the state.
Yeah,
if not more.
That is that's the same thing. And keep in mind, it was George Bush the senior that brought in the whole One World Order thing in his great speech in 1992. You know, that speaks about this complying with the United Nations through a one world order. And a lot of people might not know about that speech. Just Google George Bush One World Order on YouTube, and it comes right up, and you can listen for yourself. And you can see this whole progression. There's a whole history that's progressed us to this point. So, and of course, the people have reacted badly to Jeb Bush, I think, because people are now more aware of the actions of his brother and his father in setting us up for this one world order business. And much to the disappointment, and of course the establishment Republicans are all in on this. They're
absolutely
all in on this.
Well, that has been, and I think a large portion of that has to do with the fact that we have so many now activists and people like yourself and myself. We started the agenda movement where we were absolutely dedicated in making sure that people know what this is and know what it's about. So now it's not something that you hide in the closet anymore. When you say Agenda 21, people at least have an inkling of what it is. They know it's bad. They may not know exactly what it is, but we're not hit with the, oh, my God, you're crazy routine.
Right.
Because we're actually seeing it play out. And Jeb Bush, not only with the Florida Forever, but he formed an illegal partnership
right.
with the United Nations, and it's the public-private partnership. It's absolutely unconstitutional as per the 10th Amendment. And now we have the United Nations, of course, having their nose in everything sustainable in Florida, which he then filtered through our schools, which is why Florida has the proud stature of being number 37.
Well, you know, the thing is that, and of course, he supported Common Core, Race to the Top and Common Core. And the reason is he also had real business interest in a software company that he doesn't like to talk about because he got rid of that before he went out for president. We were very keenly aware of that.
Brother Neil, who still has the software company,
right.
is now working with Ted Cruz. So how is that going to work out?
Well, you know, you just need to have to dig deep out inside and wonder what's really going on there because. Yeah, that's a problem for Ted Cruz because that software company is a problem because it's right with up there with the Pearson Education Group and Bill Gates and all that, and they're going to earn billions of dollars off of software that's going to be for computers that Bill Gates is going to be introducing worldwide through Common Core, and a lot of people don't understand that. I was an educator for 41 years. I saw this one coming. And we were all over this whole thing about Jeb Bush. One of the reasons why Jeb Bush actually got rid of that was there are some people that I know that put some major political pressure on him, and he recognized he couldn't struggling. He had to get rid of it, and he did. But, you know, he just got it off the books, and now things are going to go back to normal. But these people are very, very good about hiding these things. But I want to go back to your thing about the illegal relationship with the United Nations. There's another person who's got something that's akin to a foundation, but it's a non-governmental organization, not a foundation per se like you have with the Clintons, and that's Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders is kind of interesting, and this is going to be breaking news for your audience. It's been something that we've kind of discussed here, and we've been following this and studying this now for quite some time, but Bernie Sanders loves the Mexican cartels, in particular the Sinaloa cartel. I bet you didn't know that.
Hello, yes, I'm sorry. I lost you for a second. That's what happens in the country.
Well,
but you're absolutely right.
Bernie Sanders
is an absolute liar, disaster, et cetera, et cetera. And he is, to me, he is equally as bad, if not worse than, the rest of the crowd, because even what he's saying, I mean, socialism, how did we get socialism? We got socialism because capitalists paid for it. Where did the money come from?
Fundamental. The problem with most socialists like this and communists is they're basically thieves, and they steal. It's not that you just give them and they take from you. They steal it outright, and corruption is part of their game. And the thing with Bernie Sanders is he's not this perfect, pristine man who's not been touched by the Sinaloa cartels. He certainly has. You know, there's a lot of questions that are going on as to why the Sinaloa cartels have an open border access from Canada through Vermont, dumping billions of dollars of tonnage, if you will, of marijuana into the United States. Did you know that? The Sinaloa cartel, by the way, it's in Sinaloa, where the cartel is obviously home. There's a huge solar panel conglomerate working down there. It's going to be one of the biggest in the world to generate energy. And you know who's paying for it? The Chinese.
No.
But, you know, it goes better with Bernie because Bernie is we've been looking and finding out that Bernie really is worth about $250 million. He's not worth $500,000. He's worth about $250 million at this point because the cartels have been using and paying money into his non-governmental organization. It's a green energy concern in which he's growing richer by the day. That's Bernie. You see, Bernie Sanders, when he was being in the, you know, when he first started coming out and he came out in one of the debates, said how sick and tired of listening to about Hillary Clinton's emails that he was. Remember that?
Right.
There was a reason why he's sick and tired because you see, Bernie is mentioned in the emails.
That makes absolute perfect sense.
Yeah, he doesn't want anybody to find out about that information that Bernie Sanders is in those emails about Hillary Clinton and the Sinaloa cartels.
Now, I did not know about the pipeline going through Vermont. I did know about the heroin. We did talk about that. I didn't realize that it was the marijuana.
Well, the heroin and cocaine are really red herrings by comparison. You see, there's just almost pure profit in every pound of marijuana that's produced. I mean, you know, you're talking anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000 per pound of marijuana when, you know, and most people use, almost all, you know, druggies use marijuana at some point, especially now the high content THC, it's just spreading like wildfire. So the real people, the people that are using heroin and cocaine, it's really minuscule in terms of the numbers that are using it. I know they're going up, and of course the marijuana is the gateway drug to do that, but by proportion, the profit is in marijuana. And that's why, you know, you got George Soros trying to legalize it and all that stuff, because the more people smoke marijuana, the worse our country is going to get. That's just a fact. And that's one of the reasons that they want to flood it here in this country now.
Of course. Well, the whole concept is just look back in the past. Let's keep the populace drugged and happy on gladiators or whatever. It didn't make any difference. Just entertain them, and they won't pay attention to how we're destroying them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And that's exactly where we are going. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining me this evening. We are going to cut things a little bit short tonight because I know people are anxious, and they should be hearing the candidates' speeches for, you know, listening to the candidates. Don't listen to the media. You want to know what a person said. Listen to their words, not somebody's interpretation of their words. So we are going to shorten our show a little bit this evening, and hopefully you will come back and join me again, Paul. It is always wonderful to talk to you. And we're going to follow very closely about Jefferson, the state of Jefferson, because
Florida
is also way too big to govern. And because of that, what's happening in Florida, just like in California, northern Florida is being pillaged, Southern Florida is being inundated with illegals.
Right. And there's this whole immigration thing, that's a whole other thing that's been orchestrated by the Jesuits and other people to flood the country with a whole new demographic so that they can control them. And that's really the most insidious thing. We have to talk about that sometime. But listen, thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you so much, Paul. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can reach me at agenda21radio.com. That's the website. We're also on Red State Talk Radio. We have many affiliates actually in Florida, and I don't have a list of them in front of me. You can also hear me on those. And out of Valdosta, Georgia, we're going to be coming out of there pretty soon. And we're pretty excited about that. And then a website, like I said, agenda21radio.com and Red State Talk Radio. Those are the best ways. If you want to email me, it's Paul, P-A-U-L, at agenda21radio.com. And that's the numbers 2 and 1 in there.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me this evening. Well, folks, this has been quite a show. And it's very important that we understand that what happens in one state happens in another state. And the Bureau of Land Management is exactly what Paul said. They are a criminal enterprise. As a matter of fact, they are a corporation, and I don't even believe they're incorporated in the United States. I believe they're incorporated on one of the Caribbean islands. And they have no ownership rights to any of our property. The American people own American soil. They own American minerals. They own American natural resources. And there is not one politician that has any right to any of this. They have no right to sell it. They have no right to own it. And they have no right to reap the reward of it. But nothing is going to happen unless we get the right people in office. And that's what this election is about. So, Miss Sally, it has been fabulous. And it looks like Donald is going to be on his way to another victory. And thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen with American Freedom Watch Radio. We are brought to you live with on Blog Talk Radio American Statesman. Please visit our websites, agenda21today.com, panhandlepatriots.com, americaismyname.com, and americaismyname.org. Sorry about that, folks. And karenschoen.com. Please sign up for our newsletter. It's very important. We only share the truth. Our information has been scrubbed and re-scrubbed, and we make sure that the information that we send out is the truth. God bless you all, and God bless you for voting. Thank you. It is so important. This is the only way that we can take back our country, that we can save America, is by getting involved. So with that in mind, please go and listen. Pay attention. I'm sure you can find every news station is carrying this now. Please pay attention. Please listen and share the information. Remember, truth will set you free. But if you don't use it and share it, it's like not having the key. Thank you all again. God bless you all. God bless America. Good night, Miss Sally.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. See you again next week.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be. Believe in the virtues I stand for.
respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my face without fear.